finally we're getting the opportunity to speak about Radha Damodar. We visited the Radha Damodar temple in Vrindavan. And the glories of the Radha Damodar temple are practically unlimited. I'll just share with you one of the first things that I heard and understood about the mood of that place. Because of its central location to Govindaji, Madan Mohan, Radharaman, Radha Gokulananda, Radha Damodar temple was like the hub where the Goswamis would come, Prabhupada taught us, regularly, and for hours they would discuss transcendental topics together. Now, who can imagine what such discussions were like? But regularly they would take place there. In fact, when you do the parikrama marg, that circumambulation going in the temple to the left, around the samadhis to the left, and behind the temple, and then into the Rupa Goswami Samadhi in Bhajan Kutir area, there's that walkway up ramp, and then flat, and then down. But when we went there, it was like a big hollow area behind the deity, kind of like a going down area. There was some space up above. And at least what I understood was, because it was very cool in that area, that's where they would sit. The Goswamis would sit in a very cool place right behind the deity and hold their discussions. Now it's covered over and you can't appreciate that, at least visually. But where the topics of the personality of Godhead are heard and chanted, that place becomes sanctified. It's already sanctified. It's Vrindavan Dham. And within Vrindavan Dham, the Radha Damodar temple is in the area of Seva Kunj, where regularly Krishna would perform his Rasalila pastimes. It was specifically that area that Jiva Goswami was assigned to reside by Rupa Goswami. So I'd like to describe a little bit about Jiva Goswami and the deity of Radha Damodar. When I'm giving this description, please picture in your mind at the Radha Damodar temple the smaller deities in the front with the Radha Damodar deity. Radha Damodar deities that were personally fashioned by Rupa Goswami's own hand. And then given to Jiva Goswami to worship. And he described to Jiva Goswami the details of how that worship should be done. And that worship was so intimate that it's described sometimes for the pleasure of Jiva Goswami. Damodar was enjoying his worship so much that he would play his flute. And sometimes he would dance and play his flute. One can imagine the ecstasy of Jiva Goswami in worshiping Radha Damodar. Who can understand? A about Madan Mohan. We saw Madan Mohan yesterday. One of the places that Sanatan Goswami would reside from time to time was in Mahavan, in Gokul. So in the mood of Krishna's sporting pastimes as a small boy, Sanatana Goswami would observe the little village boys playing. And one particular boy was very excited in his sporting activities with other cowherd boys, jumping into the river Jamuna and splashing and pulling on the tails of cows, and very, very playful. So one time, Sanatana Goswami noticed where that little boy, after the boys dispersed, where he went, and he went right into the little space where he was residing for his worship of Madan Mohan. And he went inside, and there was nobody inside but Madan Mohan. So Sanatana Goswami could understand, this is Krishna's enjoying in Vrindavan. Now we don't have those realizations, because we don't have that purity. But the pure devotees are reciprocated with in their pure devotion by the personality of Godhead. And he attracts their hearts and minds and reciprocates with their pure love. We can just continue our practices of devotional service, trying to become purified, trying to become free from offense, trying to get the mercy of elevated Vaishnavas and these wonderfully merciful deities of the Lord, that slowly, slowly we can also become so qualified to establish our relationship with the personality of Godhead and render very meaningful, personal, loving services. Our opportunity is right in front of us. Jiva Goswami was the nephew of Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, so it gives us some idea of the age. Sanatana Goswami was the eldest of the three brothers, Rupa Goswami next, and the youngest brother was Sri Pallava. There's not a clear, definite understanding of when the first encounter with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was with Jiva Goswami, but one indication is that when Rupa and Sanatan and Sri Balabh first met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the young Jiva Goswami, just some short period of time old, a couple years old, not likely that he would remember that encounter, but spiritually having the significance of Lord Chaitanya's association took place. When Jiva Goswami was a young boy, very traditionally one hears that his scholarship was super excellent. Prabhupada said about Jiva Goswami, in the history of the world, there has never been one more scholarly than Jiva Goswami. That's quite a statement. When he was of age to travel, he wanted to go stay with his uncles, because his father Sri Ballabh had died early, and he understood the spiritual quality of Rupa and Sanatana, and he wanted very much to get their association. So he left home and first went to Navadvipa because he wanted to see the places of pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. There he met Lord Nityananda. And Lord Nityananda, in great ecstasy, took Jiva Goswami on a total parikrama, total Navadvip Mandal parikrama of all the places where Lord Chaitanya performed his wonderful pastimes. And that very same tour of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes described in a book, Navadvip Dham Mahatmya and Navadvip, forget what he called, Navadvip Parikrama by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. The details of that experience, that exchange with Lord Nityananda and Jiva Goswami is recorded. And our Navadvip Parikrama group at Gorpranim time, they follow exactly the same step-by-step-by-step, place-by-place visitation. Nityananda blessed Jiva Goswami that he could reside in Vrindavan, but gave him the assignment instead to first go study the Vedas thoroughly under one of the very confidential associates of Lord Chaitanya, which was a very important part of Jiva Goswami's preparation for his literary contributions that would later come. If I can recall correctly, Jiva Goswami's writings constituted 300,000 verses. Just like Yeah, 400,000 verses. How many verses are there in Mahabharata? 100,000. How many verses in Srimad Bhagavatam? 18,000. 400,000. It's like writing two Mahabharats and five or six Bhagavatams and a collection of Bhagavad Gitas. And Jiva Goswami was just an astoundingly powerful scholar. So his training in scholarship, or at least where Lord Nityananda sent him, was perhaps surprisingly to Benares, where the brother of one of the relatives of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was residing under Lord Chaitanya's instruction. And he trained him not only in Lord Chaitanya's teachings, but the six essential darshans, or the philosophical treatises, so that Jiva Goswami would thoroughly understand, in contrast to Lord Chaitanya's teachings, what were these other teachings. So that he would be equipped in the future to clear all doubts, and he would know precisely the arguments of other teachings outside of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, which became very useful in his writing at a later point in time. So then he came to Vrindavan, visited some other places in the course of his route to Vrindavan, and when he reached Vrindavan, immediately he was received by Rupa Goswami Rupa Goswami gave him residence in the Seva Kunj area, and Jiva Goswami was like immediately under Rupa Goswami's care. As erudite as he was, Jiva Goswami was being trained in the mood of humble service. You've all heard this millions of times. But one of the first service that the super scholar Jiva Goswami was engaged in was just preparing the leaves for Rupa Goswami's writing. Just humble service. So that he would be absorbed while in Vrindavan in this mood of humble service, because later on Jiva Goswami would have to take very, very elevated position to serve all the devotees, but one must be trained from the very beginning in the mood of humble service. So that whatever one's position, that mood of humble service remains. Just like so many Vaishnavas. Just like Narottam Das Thakur. Humble service. And in course of time, Jiva Goswami was given the assignment by Gopal Bhatta Goswami of compiling all of his notes on Vaishnava teachings. What Gopal Bhatta Goswami had done, since he was little Gopal, who had the association of Lord Chaitanya, and through the years and years and years of his Vaishnava life, he not only read, but he very carefully established philosophical points from the scriptures, and then would give quotes that would embellish or support the various philosophical points. And then he conceived of them under different headings, and headings and subheadings and subpoints, and the Purva Pakshas, others would argue such and such, and then defeat the Purva Paksha, arguers would say, with scriptural evidence on the whole of Vaishnava teaching. And he was a super scholar too. He was the son of the chief priest of the Sri Rangam temple, and had access to all the teachings of Sri Vaishnavism. At the same time, he had Lord Chaitanya's association, so he had all access to Lord Chaitanya's teachings. And all of those notes he handed over to Jiva Goswami and said, you put it together in a book form. Put it as a commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, because Srimad Bhagavatam discusses all about all philosophical subjects. And like Lokanath, he gave his one condition. Just don't mention my name in the whole book. So the scholarship of Jiva Goswami was super excellent. We described when we were at Chirgat, the incident where Jiva Goswami defeated Ballabha, when Ballabha had made some comment about to Rupa Goswami, at Rupa Goswami's request, about the composition of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, some particular passage he felt was not appropriate. So Jiva Goswami from that wrote Gopal Champu. And if any of you have ever read Jiva Goswami's writings, you have to become attracted to Jiva Goswami. He's mystical. He's like way up there. But he's so accessible. His messages are so clear and so profound and so concise and so accessible. Just I'm a Jiva Goswami fan. I it's very easy for me to speak about how wonderful Jiva Goswami is. Appreciating the mood of Jiva Goswami and to enhance his development in devotional service, Rupa Goswami made the arrangement, as I explained earlier, with his own hand. He didn't just give the assignment to a murti maker. With his own hand, he fashioned or carved the Radha Damodar deity. And a grand ceremony gave that deity to Jiva Goswami, instructed him in his worship, and Jiva Goswami personally took care of that deity worship. Because of his scholarship, Jiva Goswami also had a particular vision, as well as because of his age, he was younger, Jiva Goswami established a library near Radhakund, a library of Goswami literature. And thank Jiva Goswami for making that effort, because otherwise, who knows if we would even have the Goswami literature preserved today. Knowing the immense value, spiritual value of that literature, he preserved copies, because there weren't printing presses, it was all done by hand, the making copies of books. So the copies were very, very carefully reproduced and placed in the library. We mentioned when we were at the Samadhi Mandir of Sanatan Goswami, way off in the corner, there was a Grantha Samadhi. After the departure of Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, some of their literature was so elevated and confidential that he understood future generations will just not have the capacity to understand this. And so he placed in underground, like in Samadhi, those literatures. Following Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, after their departure, he became the principal acharya of all Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And Srinivas Acharya came to become his student, Narottam Das Thakur, and Shyamananda. They all came and studied under Jiva Goswami, his three principal students. And then he in turn instructed them to instruct others. He sent them on a very famous journey with a ox cart filled with the Goswami literature, indicating we shouldn't just keep this here in Vrindavan. This knowledge should be distributed. Jiva Goswami was the first Sankirtan leader of the Hare Krishna movement. But it was the vision of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that this would happen. He taught, the six Goswamis wrote, and Jiva Goswami sent others to distribute this literature. Imagine what profound contribution Srila Prabhupada did in a period of 10 years. He wrote, he published, and he distributed through his disciples in a period of 10 years, spreading the Hare Krishna movement all over the world in many different languages. What empowerment from Krishna. What vision. Now, where did he get that empowerment? And where did he get the vision? He got the empowerment, he got the vision from the Goswamis and Rupa, specifically Rupa Goswami. Prabhupada described once, I shared this before, but when we were at Radha Damodar Temple, but share it again. Prabhupada was feeling, when living at Radha Damodar Temple, could you imagine a being 70 years old, thinking you have a mission from your spiritual master to go and spread Krishna consciousness in a foreign land where there's nobody, how is it going to be possible? And Prabhupada was feeling such a mood very strongly. And he described that in the courtyard where Rupa Goswami's Samadhi Mandir is, Rupa Goswami personally appeared and instructed Prabhupada that carry on, this mission given to you will be successful. I will help you. Carry on. Now, Prabhupada didn't broadcast that broadly. It was a conversation, a confidential conversation that he had with some devotees. But Prabhupada was guided by Rupa Goswami's teaching and his confidence that the teachings of Rupa Goswami, which means the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, but in their written form, the teachings of Rupa Goswami should be spread. And whatever the outcome, they're to be spread far and wide, which was exactly the mood of Jiva Goswami. Being the youngest of the Goswamis, he physically, or his lifespan endured beyond the other five. And all along, arrangements were being made by Lord Nityananda and the brother of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Rupa and Sanatan that he would be the torchbearer, the successor Acharya, following Lord Chaitanya and Rupa Goswami. Jiva Goswami became that personality. And as a result, because such a strong position of devotional service was being held at the Radha Damodar temple, we find that the deities of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, that he was worshipping at Radha Kund, when he left this world, the deities of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami were brought to the Radha Damodar temple. The Shalagram Shila of Sanatan Goswami, that he was circumambulating, was brought to the Radha Damodar temple. So this Radha Vrindavan Chandra that we saw at the Radha Damodar temple, the taller deity, that's the deity of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Or at the Radha Damodar temple in Vrindavan, that's the first deity to our left or the far deity to their right. Radha Vrindavan Chandra. So we know in ISKCON, we know of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami primarily through his most incredible biography of Lord Chaitanya's life in the form of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Something that struck me as a member of the Hare Krishna movement at one point in time, all along Prabhupada had said how much he wanted to complete Srimad Bhagavatam in the course of his life, all 12 cantos. And it was really astounding that Prabhupada interrupted right in the midst of Srimad Bhagavatam and translated Chaitanya Charitamrita. I didn't know who Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was or what Chaitanya Charitamrita represented. But I could understand that Prabhupada considered this to be such a momentous work that stopping the Srimad Bhagavatam and doing 17 volume publication was very, very important for his followers and for establishing the teachings that Lord Chaitanya gave, as he did with Nectar of Devotion. Even in the midst of the second canto translations, Prabhupada stopped and did a summary study of Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. All of this was to prepare us so that we can carry on the legacy ourselves. We would be protected by transcendental knowledge and would be equipped to give to the world the same transcendental knowledge. And part of our reason a major part of our reason for coming here to Vrindavan and Karoli and Jaipur and Prakrama is to get inspiration and purification so that we can carry on that legacy ourselves. Some of the members here who are on this yatra are quite elderly. So your opportunity to vigorously distribute Krishna consciousness all over the world may be restricted. But consider Prabhupada's age. Prabhupada was 70 years old when he took up the mission of starting a worldwide Hare Krishna movement. So at least amongst those of you who are older in years, at least amongst those of you who are of your age, some seed should be planted by this Vrindavan Yatra of understanding the importance of the holy places and understanding the importance of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and share this message with others in a very systematic way. And those of you that are younger, please appreciate the sequence of events of how Lord Chaitanya's movement unfolded and where you are similarly in the unfolding of the ISKCON movement. The younger generation of devotees are meant to imbibe that which Prabhupada and then in turn Prabhupada's followers established and carry this forward with an inspired vision like Jiva Goswami did and like Srila Prabhupada did. Because we know as the years passed after Jiva Goswami, things went down. And we don't want that to happen. And it doesn't need to happen. Doesn't need that the system that Srila Prabhupada gave is that not just one person as his successor acharya, that was not the system that Prabhupada gave us, but that collectively we should work together to spread Krishna consciousness. And that's what's our mandate. I just received a call yesterday from Bhakti Purushottam Swami from Mayapur. We were working on some project together. And he mentioned that there are 3,500 devotees right now on doing a yatra in Mayapur while we're doing our yatra. We were for some time with Bibi Govinda Maharaj and Indradumna Maharaj. So they shifted to Mayapur. And then there's a Giriraj Maharaj is back in India after something like 15 years, something like that. He's been unable to come into India. So he came and so many people that he knows from Bombay have come and Radhanath Maharaj and then two other groups are there. So very, very powerful. And this is like, you know, a nucleus of energy, of infusion to take this back into the world. I mean, certainly take it into our hearts very deeply, but take this message of pure devotional service. Try to imbibe the spirit of Lord Chaitanya's mission. All these deities that we've been seeing, they're the arrangement of Lord Chaitanya around his time just before or during his time, they manifested. Just like we saw the Govindaji temple, it drew the heart, it's to this day drawing the hearts of who knows how many people were in that audience. Who knows what Janmashtami is like here at Jaipur. And the Krishna consciousness movement is meant to expand and expand. This is Lord Chaitanya's dictate or his mandate. So the potency is there. Where does the potency come from? The potency comes from Lord Chaitanya and his followers. And the purity that's necessary also comes from the same personality's mercy and are properly applying the teachings of pure devotional service. So those teachings of pure devotional service were so nicely exhibited by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. We saw when we went to Radhakund, we saw the bhajan kutir of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, that little place up in between Radhakund, Shyamakund, remember we visited? Little place where Raghunath Das Goswami had his samadhi and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur had his bhajan kutir, Powerful, powerful, powerful Vaishnavas writing, giving us the full disclosure of Lord Chaitanya and his teachings. Now, how did Krishnadas Kaviraj get that? The same way we can get it. That is, he heard it. He heard from Raghunath Das Goswami the later pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Raghunath Das Goswami was placed under the care of Swarup Damodar. And Swarup Damodar, being none different than Lalita Sakhi, disclosed to Raghunath Das Goswami the inner meanings of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. And Raghunath Das Goswami, having experienced the pastimes, whereas the other Goswamis were here in Vrindavan, he joined them. And then they requested him, while we were serving him over here in separation in Vrindavan, you've been with him in Puri. So you must tell all that you've experienced and all that you've understood from Swarup Damodar. Every day, 3 to 4 hours every day, 3 to 4 hours every day, without fail, describe the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, the teachings and his pastimes. And one person in the audience every day, Krishnadas Kaviraj. So Krishnadas Kaviraj had that resource, but the same resource that we have, hearing. And through the recorded form of literature, now we can hear again and again. Our memory may be so much like a bucket with big holes in it. We can't remember anything. But we can go back and read the literature and chant. When we were at ISKCON Govardhan, during our Govardhan Prakrama, I went inside just to pay my respects to Keshava Bharati Maharaj, and I went past one door, and Vaisheshika Prabhu, who's the book distribution minister in North America, he was there in one room. And I could tell, because I could hear from outside, chanting of slokas, chanting of slokas, chanting of slokas, chanting of slokas, all day long, chanting of slokas. He's such a powerful Vaishnav, so pure in heart. But how does that come about? The absorption in transcendental sound. He took time out long enough to pay obeisances and embrace and exchange a few words and back to chanting slokas. Spiritual sound vibration will immerse us to purify the heart. And the mercy of these so merciful deities, powerfully merciful deities, if we open our hearts and properly pray to these deities, something is going to happen. Our hearts may be hard. Our consciousness may be dull. But the deities are very powerful. We just open our hearts and pray to them. sincerely for their kind, uplifting mercy, that our attraction for Krishna may become strong, and our holding on to material affairs and hoping for, against hope, for happiness in material existence just falls away. Our real connection with the Personality of Godhead can become strengthened in this way. So Krishnadas Kaviraj provided us with such literature. And other very, very, very elevated literature, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's writings disclose how intimate was his qualification to write Chaitanya Charitamrita. And what was one of the foremost, those of you that have read Chaitanya Charitamrita, when you think of the mood of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, what's one of the most outstanding features of that mood? His abject humility. His deep attachment for Nityananda Prabhu, simply wanting to please the lotus feet of Nityananda Prabhu, always calling for the mercy of Rupa and Raghunath at the end of every chapter, considering himself more fallen and insignificant than a worm in stool, that anyone who thinks of me and calls my name will become covered by illusion, thinking of himself in that way. These weren't statements of hyperbole or exaggeration. They're actually Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's mood. Simply wanting to serve the Vaishnavas. Simply wanting to serve the will of Lord Chaitanya. Let us enter there. That's the place of happiness. How do we get there? By the mercy of those who are there. So, Radha, Vrindavan Chandra were the deities that were worshipped by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, and they were brought here to Jaipur along with the other deities at the same time. So, in the Radhadamara temple, Radha, Vrindavan Chandra, Radha Damodar, along with Lalita, and the deities of Jayadev Goswami. Next, Radha Madhava. We visited the temple of Radha Madhava yesterday. And then to our far right, or to the deities far left, are the deities of Bhugarbha Goswami. Let us stand and participate in aarti ceremony. Shishiradha Vinod Ki Jai.